This time we'll now read Psalm 116. Psalm 116. There in Psalm 116, we read this word of God. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bond. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts. Our text is verses 12 and then 17. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 116 is a psalm of thanksgiving. In fact, Psalm 116 is part of the section of Psalms, Psalms 115 to 118, from which Jesus and his disciples more than likely sang after the Lord's Supper, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. After the Lord's Supper, Jesus and his disciples, we read, gave thanks to God by the singing of a hymn. And the hymn which they sang was probably Psalm 116 or one of the other psalms in that section of the Psalms. And thus, we also understand that Psalm 116 is one of the hymns mentioned in Colossians 3, verse 16. Those divinely inspired hymns of the book of Psalms, which we as a church take up in our congregational worship to praise and to thank Jehovah. Clearly, Psalm 116, as we read it, is a psalm of humble thanksgiving unto God. And that psalm then at the same time teaches us about what true thanksgiving is. What must we do in our thanksgiving unto Jehovah? What must we understand in that activity of thanksgiving? And Psalm 116 teaches us a few important principles of thanksgiving. First of all, that thanksgiving is given to whom? Unto Jehovah. I love Jehovah because He is God alone. And in that thanksgiving, we are taught what we must praise about Jehovah. Gracious is the Lord, and merciful and full of compassion. Or as we sing in Psalter number 426, Jehovah is the fount of life and grace. We speak of His attributes, of His glory. And when should we do that? Many different circumstances of life, including, as the psalmist teaches, death. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And how should we give that thanks? It's also mentioned in the psalm. I believed, therefore have I spoken. In addition to that, the psalm now teaches us in our text what the right question of thanksgiving ought to be. The correct question of thanksgiving is not, what shall I do today to praise myself and to serve myself today and to increase my glory and standing among men? That's not the question. That's an evil question. The question is not, having received what God gives us today, why did not the Lord give me more of the things that I want or better things than these which I have received? What's the problem with the Lord? That's not the question either. A question of unbelief and mistrust. Or the question is not, why did not the Lord lead my life the way I wanted it to go? What's going on? I know what's best for myself. This is the way it should have gone. Why didn't the Lord listen to me? No, not the question of murmuring or complaining either. The question is, what shall I render unto Jehovah for all His benefits toward me? That's the question, a fitting question of true thanksgiving, which we consider for a few moments this morning. First of all, the question, and then we'll explore briefly the answer in the second point. What shall I render unto Jehovah for all His benefits towards me? The question is asked, you see, in contrast to the second part of that phrase, all His benefits toward me. Benefits, first of all. That's what he received from Jehovah. Benefits are sometimes called bountiful gifts. The word benefits is described in Scripture in light of Genesis 33 and what Jacob said to Esau in verse 11, looking at the children with Esau, looking at the children of Jacob, Jacob said, these are the children which God hath given me because He has graciously dealt with me. They're the result of God's gracious dealing. That's what the psalmist here means by the word benefit. That word indicates that the psalmist stood in a legal position before the judge of heaven and earth, a legal position of favor, a position where the judge smiled upon him and spoke wonderful things to him, in favor to him. And out of that motive of favor and that positive disposition of the judge towards the psalmist, God bestowed upon him gifts or benefits. And you understand then, in that relationship to Jehovah, whatever the Lord gave to him was or were true benefits. They were not merely things to help him in this earthly life, and that was the extent of the gifts and the purpose of the gifts that God gave to him. Oh no. Benefit, in the light of the whole psalm, indicates that what God gave to the psalmist was given to him to help him in this life, certainly, but also with a view to the life to come in heaven with Jehovah. That's a true benefit. Something, yes, which feeds my body, something that helps my mind, yes, but all of that given to me to serve my life with the Lord now in this life and soon in heaven. Benefits which help us in time with a view to eternity in Jesus Christ with God. Like the psalmist, those are the benefits the church desires to have and to confess that they have received these things of Jehovah. Because the fact is, not everyone receives benefits from God. The world today receives many earthly good gifts. Lots of food, lots of wealth, lots of health. The world receives an abundance of that. The unrighteous and the ungodly, they prosper. But that's all they receive, good earthly gifts. But not as an expression of God's favor. All of that food, all of that drink does not benefit them at all. Not today, not tomorrow, not after death. It's a poison to them. And although that is exactly what we deserve, yet we with the psalmist rejoice in the benefits that we have received from God. Yes, we receive our daily bread, what God has rationed out for us according to his decree and his wisdom and his goodness. But that earthly bread has the goal of our spiritual life with him, and to serve the goal of our eternal life with him in heaven. And that's what makes us particularly happy today and thankful, that we don't just receive food today, and a lot of it, we receive it as a benefit from the hand of the Father, who gives it to us with a view to our life with him everlastingly. Looking at the things which he received in this life that way, the psalmist then acknowledges with one word the abundance of the benefits received, all. With that word, he recalls to mind, he sets before his mind that vast number of things God has given to him. He does a mental checklist of the earthly good gifts which God gave him, the clothing, the wealth, earthly possessions. He also puts in that checklist all of the events in his life which God gave him and God led him, through which God led him. And then he views all of those things and says, yes, all of them, benefits. If we were to make a checklist of all the benefits we have received from God, doing that individually, and then as families together today, we would run out of paper. Write it all down. The list would be endless. The list should be endless. You see, the problem is we don't always know all the benefits which God gives to us. It is often to our shame that we come to God in prayer. And as you fathers know, we can hardly make a long list of all the benefits that we have received. We don't know what to say. That's not right. We must practice making that mental, spiritual checklist, that inventory in our life of all the benefits God has given to us, and pray that God open our eyes to see and to realize and to look with the precision of a microscope and realize this is what the Lord has done for me. Countless benefits, so that we're overwhelmed with the reality. I am full of the benefits of the Lord. And in that list, then we would notice, too, the great diversity of those benefits. There's the obvious earthly benefits of our daily bread, your food, your clothing, your housing, transportation, your medical needs are taken care of. Pay special attention, as the psalmist does in Psalm 116, to the spiritual benefits, the heavenly benefits of salvation from sin, unbelief, pride, unto the life of humility and godliness and obedience and trust in Jehovah. These are the benefits of salvation by God's grace alone, which the psalm celebrates. These are the benefits of knowing God personally, knowing His truth, and then worshiping Him in that truth. And then we would also see by that word all, that list of benefits demonstrates that what God gives us is a continuous stream, past, present, and it's still coming and will continue to come every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week, morning and night, every moment, every step of the way through your sojourn. Even when you're not realizing it, it's there. The recipient of an endless stream God's benefits. Do you see that? In health and sickness, wealth and poverty, in sadness and joy, in life and death. Things are going well, or the moment of the crisis. In the house at supper time with a full meal before you, or in the ICU room in the hospital before a loved one, unconscious. Still, the recipient of an endless stream of benefits. For us in this age, still in religious freedom, but there are other of God's saints today who are in the crucible of persecution by the enemies of Christ. Still, benefits to them. In trial and affliction, doesn't matter, benefits. Serve us in this life for our good and for the life to come. You must do that, beloved, in your thanksgiving today. Consider all the benefits in all the circumstances of your life. Open your eyes, beloved, and look not at the earthly things which God gives you and according to how it looks and how many things you have. Then decide how much your thanksgiving to God will be. No, see them, however little they may be, and however the quality of them may be. Look at them as benefits given to you in God's favor to serve your eternal salvation. And do that because they come, beloved, from the hand of Jehovah. That's the unchangeable God of the covenant. The God who says, I will be merciful to whomsoever I will be merciful. so that you don't need to work at it and then make yourself worthy and then God decides, okay, I will be merciful to you. Of course not. This is the Jehovah who has ordained, who has decreed his covenant with Christ and his seed. That's the Jehovah who comes to you. He finds you. He takes hold of you. He draws you to Christ by his grace irresistible. He lives in you by his Spirit. He makes you his children. And being his children, we receive from the hand of our Heavenly Father his fatherly care, wise, righteous, perfect, of benefits. Benefits which serve the goal of his covenant, which serve the goal of establishing and maintaining that covenant in you and your seed. Benefits given to you so that you will receive and obtain your inheritance in the heavenly Canaan. That's the Jehovah who is to you and to me, his church, the fount of life and grace. What's amazing about that, beloved, that Jehovah, gives those benefits, the psalmist says, to me. Beloved, do you know who that me is? The me who speaks here is the me of faith. He is not proud as the ungodly. Oh, by nature he is. By the grace of that gift of faith, he's learned. No, I must be humble. I don't deserve the things of this life. I don't deserve the benefits of Jehovah. Nothing depends upon me. This is the me, beloved, who knows himself as the chief sinner. Totally depraved by nature, worthy of what God does give to the unrighteous, everlasting punishment. This is the me who knows Jehovah as his only Savior, his only Lord, the one who is truly gracious and merciful, who not only wills our eternal blessedness, but he reaches down in his mercy and he takes hold of you. And in that mercy, he sets you on the rock, which is Christ. He delivers your soul from death. That's not just the death of the grave in the psalm, but the death of hell. Through that substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, where God put on Christ what he should have kept on you and me, the curse, and made Christ take it away by his shed blood, so that you might receive all the benefits of his righteousness, his obedience, his satisfaction, his glory when he arose from the dead and went to the right hand of God in his ascension. That's the me, saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That's what you must confess, beloved, and pray that God give you the grace to know that me of the Scripture, of the text. Hell I deserved. Heaven God has given me. To be forsaken for my unfaithfulness to him, I deserve. The benefit of his nearness, God gives to me. To be crushed for my pride, that's what I deserve. God gives me his gentleness and his mercy and does not crush the broken reed nor quench the smoking flax. Terrible things I deserve because of my gross sin. But repentance, confession of sin, a softened heart, a true faith, a firm hope in God, a childlike trust in Him, God by His Spirit gives to me and works in me. And for food, well, bitter wormwood to drink, and the bread of astonishment and shame. That's what I deserve to eat in this wilderness. And yet He feeds us, doesn't He? Instead, with the bread and the water of life to restore your soul. Abandoned in this wilderness? Yes. But He doesn't. He rescues us and He brings us to Him in repentance. And there's so much more we could say, beloved, for all the benefits God and Jehovah has given to us. What shall we render to Him for all of that? And beloved, understand, something must be given to Him. He deserves to be honored. Enter into His courts. You must come before Him. You must render unto Him something. And that word render means we're obligated with a debt. We owe Him something. We don't owe Him things to earn our salvation. Christ has finished that. But still, there's a debt that remains. What shall we render to Him? What shall we give to Him? What shall we give to Him that He does not already own? Shall we offer to Him our offerings this morning and our gifts of support to the church as though, now that's what God needs, and I've given Him something that He doesn't have already today? No. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the money that you gave this morning for the support of the church and the poor that already belong to the Lord. The good works that we have done today already. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we remember we are created. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, foreordained by Him. Even the good works He owns. That helps us to understand then the answer to the question, what shall we render unto Jehovah for everything that He has given to us? Is there really anything adequate? The answer is no. Nevertheless, there is something pleasing to the Lord, that He desires and He commands that we give to Him in response to our understanding of all the benefits He has given to us. It's very simple. Sacrifice, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. But be careful. There is much sacrificing of thanksgiving today in the world that is not what the text is speaking about. The unbelieving, yes, they sacrifice their offerings of thanksgiving to their gods or the spirits of their departed loved ones, and there sit their tables of fruit alongside the road, or they offer their praise and voice and confession to the gods of money or pleasure or whatever it may be. In the world religions today, many appear very sincere in their thanksgiving to their idol gods. But that's rejected by God. It's abominable to Him. The sacrifice of the world is a sacrifice of covetousness, carnal-mindedness. God renders that thanksgiving empty, and He gives man over to that kind of a thanksgiving which is empty and hopeless and miserable, and dark, and under God's curse. Don't offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving today as the world does, who offers thanksgiving according to the standard of how much and how nice it is and how often they get it. Don't do that. Having seen, beloved, that checklist of all of the benefits God has given to you, sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving according to that standard of how Jehovah has dealt with you. Offer that sacrifice on the basis of Christ crucified, of finished work. Offer it to the glory of Jehovah alone, according to His truth, according to His word, according to His commandments. As the psalmist did, not only believe, but therefore speak of that undeserved particular goodness and grace of Jehovah to you. Or as the psalmist says, to me, yes, me, of all people, even to me, God gives benefits. And that's a thanksgiving, beloved, based or according to the standard of not how much or how often or how nice, simply because God gave it to you, whatever it may be, as a benefit. No matter how little you may have today or how the Lord has packaged that benefit, either as prosperity or as something of adversity or of something of an encouragement or of great affliction. It's a benefit. Give thanks to God. And do that by calling upon the name of Jehovah. That's the chief part of thankfulness. I will call upon the name of Jehovah. That raises the question, how do we engage and celebrate in thanksgiving today? Do we eat and drink and stuff ourselves and then forget God? Is that the heart of our activity of thanksgiving? We enjoy the success of this life in many different ways, and then we praise ourselves and lift ourselves up in pride. Beloved, let us resist the thanksgiving of an Esau in Genesis 33 who said, I have enough because I am the one who got it. Our sacrifice of thanksgiving is and must be offered by means of prayer unto Jehovah, coming into the presence of Jehovah. There's no room for pride there in that place, in the throne room of God. Then doing what the saints have done from the beginning of history, they called upon the name of Jehovah. They locked in their eyes upon His glory. They spoke to Him what God had spoken to them in His word. They poured out their souls before Him and their praise to His great and glorious name, according to all the wonderful works which He had done. And they spoke to Him, and so must we speak of all of the benefits for the church since the beginning of history till now, and what we expect to happen to the church in the future, and all the benefits He has given to you in your history, so that we acknowledge not only, yes, God is the source of all these earthly gifts, and God is the God of providence who governs all of the events in my life, but that we also say, He gives me all these things and He directs my life exactly the way it must go as a benefit for my salvation, for my life with Him, in glory with Him. Beloved, give thanks to Him. All of those benefits in Jesus Christ by His grace alone. Then you see, beloved, with clear conscience and humble hearts, sanctified by the Word of God and prayer, you may enjoy your food today. Whatever your mothers or wives or grandmothers have prepared today, or your relatives. When you sit before that feast, you may rejoice in that earthly abundance. Not because of how much is on the table or how nice it looks, although we're thankful for that too, but because it's there. It's really there today for God's saints as a benefit for my soul. It serves my life as a child of God so that I might live according to His commandments, to His glory, all the days of my life, and then with a view to everlasting life with the Father in heaven. Then you can rejoice with the eye of faith at the hand which is behind all of that food, which is giving it to you, the hand of God's grace for Jesus' sake. And then you'll also be able, by the same faith, to do the same in a day when that hand of your Heavenly Father gives you the benefit of maybe one bowl of rice and an ounce or two of meat, just a few vegetables, and that's all you receive for the day. Even then, and even now, as some of God's saints receive that today, even they and we with them, if we're in that situation, we too may give thanks for the benefits of even that little bit of food, because that's a blessing for Jesus' sake. To serve us in time with a view to our place with Him in the New Jerusalem, in eternity with Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant to us the eye of faith that we may see, whether in prosperity or in adversity, in wealth or in poverty, we thy saints, not only us here today, but wherever thy people are in the earth today, that we together may see the benefits, all the benefits we have received from thee, our covenant God, only for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the glory of thy name alone, and for our salvation in glory with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.